Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 156 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We are frozen here in Texas. Hello, winter.
Finally.
You want to build a snowman?
No. Unless you live in Austin or Houston right now, then have fun.
It actually snowed pretty hard in South Texas, so cosplayers in South Texas, if you have any cosplays that have anything to do with snow, now is the time to put them on and go outside and take photos in it, because this does not happen but once maybe in a decade. So you may as well take advantage of it. Yes, it sucks, it's cold, but take advantage of the photo shoot opportunity.
At least it's snow and not ice.
Yes, this is like big fluffy flake snow. This isn't like, you know, little sleet pellet snow. No, this is the nice photo shoot kind of snow that you would normally Photoshop in there. I mean, we didn't even get any snow here in North Texas.
No.
It all went south of us. So take advantage of it.
I'm okay with that, though. It means less crazy drivers on the road, because it seems like if anything starts falling from the sky, it's like panic. We must panic and freak out. We cannot drive any longer.
Unless, of course, it's ragweed falling from the sky and then everybody just starts to sneeze.
I'm not allergic to that stuff, and even I start to sneeze.
At any rate, photo shoots in snow aside, it has definitely been a busy time for news in cosplay, and we will, of course, get to that. But first, we, of course, have cosplay updates. You could go first.
Okay, cool. Because my cosplay updates, I don't really have a whole lot of sewing stuff because we had that nice long break in between episodes because of our wonky recording schedule. So I figured I would show off all of my Black Friday purchases because I have quite a few. And I kind of splurged a little bit, but the past couple of years I really haven't bought anything. This year it was like, oh, there are just some really good sales. I need to buy this stuff now. Just for reasons. Because really the only thing that I was going to buy for Black Friday was a bias tape maker kit, which this was only like $12.99 on Amazon. And instead of like having to buy one of these little foots for like $8 at Joann's, I got four of them. So I figured that's actually a pretty good deal. Plus it also comes with a bias tape binding foot that you can attach to your sewing machine. So it helps keep your bias tape flat as you're running it through. And it actually works on my machine. Go fig. I tried it out a couple of days ago when I was making aprons, and yeah, best $13 I've ever spent. Woohoo. Legit, this was going to be the only thing I was going to buy. And then I had friends who posted on Facebook.
This is always what happens in cosplay. Like, you go in with one thing that you need, and then your list just grows.
It grows, it grows, it grows. And then you have friends who post things that they really shouldn't be posting, like this. This was like 43-45% off on Amazon. And one of our mutuals happened to post, hey, this thing is on sale, I'm buying it.
For those who do not have video and cannot see this, it is a serger. It is a brother serger.
It's actually a really nice brother serger too. I've never had a serger before. And in the almost 10 years that I've been cosplaying, I figured it's probably time to get one, given how much money I was saving just for this sucker. And it came with a lot of great reviews. Even more mutuals of ours have said, you know, they have this exact same machine. They've had it for years. They think it's really great. I was like, why not? I bought it. I have some slight regrets because once I opened up the machine and I saw the insides and all the little bits and bobs, I was like, oh my goodness, I cannot handle this.
These don't necessarily come with the Sergers for Dummies type manual, so that if you've never used one, there's a lot of moving parts.
It's really scary. Like, I know my Viking Emerald, it was a little intimidating the first time I pulled it open and had to get into the guts and clean it out. This serger is even worse. On the plus side, the nice thing with this one is that each one of the threads has a color-coded sequence and a number, so it tells you exactly where the thread needs to go with each step. So that was really, really helpful. So it's not as bad, but I did go through and try to teach myself how to thread it properly a couple of times. I think I got it right. I'm not entirely sure. We'll find out soon enough when I start testing it on more stuff. Yeah. No regrets, except sort of semi-small, tiny regret. That's okay. And I also bought a ton more fabric, as you can see behind me. I still have more coming in. A lot of it was like 50, 60, 70% off, and I needed a lot of it. So I got a bunch of it ready for next year, the next couple of years, who knows? Yay. Other than that, all I've been doing, if you guys have been following me on Instagram, is just beating like crazy. I have so much of this left to do. It's kind of insane. I actually got that section, the second set of panel bead there done last week. Started working on this one just the other day. But look at how much more I have to go. Yay. I hate myself. Yeah, that's about all I got for cosplay updates. I spent money and I beaded. Woo. Very technical. Amber's trying really hard not to laugh at me.
It was so funny when, you know, we saw on Facebook and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to get this. And I was like, yeah, yeah, I know where this is going. And then, of course, came the unboxing and then the reaction that is, oh God.
What have I done?
It usually comes with searchers.
I think it was funny because initially when this was shipped to me, it wasn't shipped in a box similar to the shape or not even like this. It was shipped in a ridiculously oversized Amazon box with mostly padding. And so when I initially got the box, I started freaking out going like, oh God, is this thing much bigger than I thought it was going to be? Because I may have to return it. I have no space for this. But then once I opened it, it was like, oh, okay, not so bad. I actually have space for it that I made a couple of days ago unintentionally. So it was like, hey, maybe this is a sign. But yeah, that initial delivery freaked me out. Like, I have made a mistake.
And she publicly
oh, no.
freaked out.
I have made so many mistakes. I need to return this.
And sergers are not quite like sewing machines. They're not as easy to use. Or at least they're certainly not as easy to set up.
It takes time. I'm kind of glad that I did end up getting this one because it didn't seem so bad. The manual, however, is not very clear in how you thread it. I ended up just going to YouTube. And it was a billion times easier to understand. That's the one downside. Ah. My splurge, yay.
All right, my turn, I assume.
Yep.
All right. So I don't have anything to show this time around, mostly because my costume is still in a box. Because I'm still unpacking from camping. Yay, I went to Texas Renaissance Festival and I went camping and I satisfied my bucket list by going on Celtic Christmas weekend. So I went to the middle of nowhere in South Texas, and I'm really sorry, Plantersville, that you really are the middle of nowhere. And I went camping with my people, with Rennies, for a weekend with no access to cell towers. So basically I was phoneless for the weekend. I mean, they have electricity in the fair. This isn't a complete replica of a 16th century village. We still have flushing toilets and such. But other than that, it was just kind of a, you know, go to the Renaissance Festival, have fun in the fair, see all of those shows and people making fools of themselves and see all the lovely costumes. Because one of the things about the Christmas theme, because there are themed weekends, is that you can see everybody put their spin on medieval Christmas. Yeah, ye old Christmas. There were a ton of ice queens this year, and I don't know why. And I don't specifically mean Elsa. I mean just generic, all white, silver, you know, spiky icicles type ice queen. There were a lot of those. There were quite a few villains, oddly enough. And I don't know if it was just the whole, you know, cold-hearted thing that they were going for or what. Everybody thought I was Elsa. And I have no earthly idea why, because the only thing that might remotely resemble me to Elsa was the shape of my costume and maybe ever so slightly the color, which was much darker than Elsa's. But other than that, it didn't look anything like it. I had my normal dark hair. I didn't even have a blonde wig. There were no icicles or snowflakes or anything around me. You know, there were gems, but they weren't, you know, glittery sequins. But hey, everybody thought I was Elsa. So sure. There was even an Anna cosplayer there. She kept calling me Elsa. And at one point, the brass choir at the fair was playing Let It Go. just because it's a caroling choir. They're playing all Christmas songs, and it was pseudo Christmassy, I guess. And she saw me standing there, and immediately she like pulled me into a dance in front of all the other patrons, and I let her do it. Just like, well, all right, that happened. That was a thing. But it was a ton of fun. I really needed that. Unfortunately, I did not take any pictures, mostly because the way my costume was engineered at the time, I did not have a camera on me. I had my phone, but at that point, because I didn't have a generator, I couldn't charge my phone. So I didn't want to use up the charge that I had just in case of emergency. So hopefully next year that will be fixed, because I have a little portable unit that I'm going to be bringing with me next time. And maybe glamping, because apparently now they have glamping tents.
Oh, cool.
They have giant yurts that they supply with furniture and beds and lighting and rugs and all that kind of stuff. Or you can even rent a cabin now that has actual AC and heating. They're getting big time now, man. But it was a ton of fun. My costume actually worked really well. I only had one costume malfunction, and that was that the frog, my little sword frog, the loop on it busted. My sword was a little bit too heavy for it, basically. But it was a last minute thing that I just kind of whipped together that I probably should have spent more time on than like the hour before I left. But other than that, like, everything stayed on. I didn't lose any gems. It was a little bit warm, so I sweated a bit. But you know, other than that, everything worked really well. And it went over really well. I got a lot of compliments on it. So I'm happy with that. I did find, and this is probably a thing in corset making that I'm just ignorant of, I really needed boning in the front. It kept wrinkling here in this area because, of course, women are curved here. And fabric does not really sit well over curved surfaces, unless it has something to brace it, which in corsetry is boning. And I did not put bones in the corset because this was only, I think, the second corset I've ever made, and I felt kind of uncomfortable working with boning at that point. So I may end up putting bones in it later, just because it in the front it really needs them. So other than that, that's pretty much what I did. I will be working on Princess Zelda as my next costume, hopefully. And I say that simply because I'm about to have surgery, so I didn't want to go out and buy fabric since I can't really do anything with it right now, since I'm about to have surgery. Merry Christmas to me. So once that is taken care of, hopefully I can get this done. Now that said, because of the time, I haven't decided if I'm still going to do a Christmas version or not, because basically by the time I'm done with this, it's going to be after Christmas. So it's a matter of, do I want to save this for the future, like say wear it next Christmas at TRF, or if I just want to do the standard version that everybody else does and just wear it whenever. So I don't know. I'm still kind of thinking about it. That's pretty much all I got.
Cool. I will address your corsetry thing because I've done a number of those now. Yes, you are correct. Boning will definitely, definitely help with the wrinkling on the front. If you don't want to go for boning because you're not entirely sure if you want to use that yet, you can also use interfacing. It doesn't have to be heavyweight. You can do a medium weight. It'll work just as well. Not 100% as great as boning, but it's kind of a good in-between if you don't feel 100% comfortable with the boning yet.
Yeah, I'll probably end up doing a test run. Just because currently, the corset in its current form is not something I can easily take back apart. So anything I do to it is going to have to be done on top of the existing foundation. So at least with boning, I can basically just use bias tape as casing and just stick it on the back. Because you don't actually see the back of the corset, even though everything is fully lined and nice. It's almost reversible. But interfacing, I'd have to stick directly on the back, which interfacing is not something that you want directly touching skin, kids. And part of that is because one, body heat. A lot of the iron-on interfacing is resin activated, is heat activated. And if it's hot outside or if it's been in a hot place, your interfacing is actually going to start peeling back off. And two, sweat and human body oils and such will interact with the interfacing with less than desirable results, let's put it that way. So generally, interfacing is done between the outer layer and an additional layer of lining or facing. The more you know.
We're dropping that knowledge.
Drop it like it's hot, yo.
Right.
All right. So that brings us to the end of our cosplay updates. And I would also briefly like to say a big thank you to those who participated in Extra Life, because this is the holiday season. This is the giving season. And you're going to see a lot of people who are asking you to give to their various causes. And Extra Life is kind of one of our pet causes. And of course, Extra Life Day basically happened the last time we recorded. You know, there were people still doing Extra Life. And there was quite a bit of money raised for the Extra Life charity and, of course, Children's Miracle Networks at the same time. So thank you to everybody who participated, either by playing, by crafting, or by donating. Everybody is a team player. Thank you.
They actually reached 10 million this year. This is their first 10 million milestone. So that was really cool to see.
And yes,
I know my team helped contributed to that. I know we all didn't meet each one of our individual goals, but it's even just a little bit helps them.
I helped.
That's all matter, which I appreciate. Thank you. I helped.
Yeah, I helped. I donated because unfortunately I was not able to contribute my time this year due to work.
Time contribution is like the hardest part because that's 24 hours. I mean, yeah, you can space it out and do what you need to do. But yeah, I did mine in 2 12-hour sessions and it's still a beat down to be streaming the entire time.
And even if you tag team it, just scheduling is somewhat difficult, especially as you get closer to the holidays. And we hope that everybody who was at ANT and PAX Unplugged had a really good time, too. That actually happened since the last time we recorded as well.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened since we last recorded.
The holidays do tend to mess up recording schedules.
Right? But hey, we still stayed on our top of our release schedule. That's all that matters.
All right, so moving into today's topic, we wanted to discuss some of the things in the news regarding cosplay that we haven't had a chance to talk about since the last time that we recorded and saw you guys. And so the very first one is actually an article from Bleeding Cool, which is an online blog of sorts. And the title is Cosplay is Not Consent Trademarked in 2016. And we will, of course, link this in the notes so that you guys can read this as well.
Yeah, those who are joining us in chat right now, because we actually have a couple of people. Yay, link it right now.
Yes. And basically, the TLDR version of this is that a group named Cosplay Deviants, and you can go look them up online. I highly suggest you have safe search enabled and that you are not at work or around small children.
They are an adult cosplay website. That's the nicest way of putting it.
Yes, they are a very adult cosplaying website. And they have attempted to trademark the phrase, cosplay is not consent. And if you've been living under a rock for the last year or so, the cosplay is not consent movement basically means that no matter how you are dressed in cosplay, it does not imply consent to be touched inappropriately or interacted with inappropriately, in other words, harassed. And so it basically became a movement in the cosplay community so that we could get people to stop harassing somebody just because of the way that they were cosplaying, especially if you were somewhat more scantily clad. And so the Cosplay Deviants group decided to try and trademark this in 2016. And the group is now approaching conventions and they're attempting to get royalties for this. They're attempting to make money off of conventions saying cosplay is not consent. I will give you a moment to appreciate the irony of this.
Oh, irony.
Okay. So now that you've had a chance to, so now that you've had a chance to appreciate this, the trademark was registered, you know, about a year ago. It's actually a little bit more than that from the date of this recording, on November 22nd, 2016. For those who have been in the cosplay community for even maybe 2 years, you kind of know that the cosplay is not consent movement has been around much longer than 2016. So, in other words, these guys did not start this movement. These guys did not have any sort of contribution realistically to the beginnings or the birth of this movement. Cosplay's Not Consent has been around since nearly 2012.
It's even actually earlier than that. Based off of the article and all the history and research that they went into it, they found that it was used much, much earlier. I mean, what the cosplay deviants are trying to say is that they originally came up with it, that this was their idea. They've been using it for years and years and years, so why not try to make a profit from it? And it's like, no, you guys really weren't the first. And the whole point of the movement is to try to bring awareness to the fact that we're human beings. Just because we're in costume does not automatically, you know, make you disregard all the rules of society. It's just weird that they're trying to profit from it.
And basically, what they're doing is they're trying to stop conventions from profiting from it. The only problem with that is that conventions aren't profiting from it. The conventions profit from people buying tickets to the convention. Has nothing to do with Cosplay Is Not Consent. Conventions don't make a dime off that. And they're basically saying, well, we paid $5,000 to insert, you know, our literature into every bag at Anime Expo 2013 for Cosplay Is Not Consent. Yeah, and a lot of businesses pay money to put their literature in cosplay bags. That doesn't mean they get to go and trademark it later and then try and make their money back. It doesn't quite work that way. And they're basically trying to send out trademark use forms to give them domain over Cosplay Is Not Consent. And it's only because they're saying that they owned the Cosplay Is Not Consent domain. That does not give them trademark over the phrase.
Yeah, that's not carte blanche of, hey, you have to give us this stuff. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And I don't understand how somebody wanting to purchase the website off of them makes it a red flag. I'm not entirely sure how this whole thing kind of went through, but yeah. I'm sorry. This just bizarrely seems like a way to control the cosplay community.
It really does. I mean, there is no... I don't even know what to make of it. And, you know, irony aside, it's just, I don't know what to make of it. I really, really, really don't. And just to kind of like make it even worse is that the way that they copyrighted this is they put it under an educational mark. And when you do that for trademarking and copywriting, it's with the intent and purpose of trying to distribute information about the content, you know, and cosplay is not consent. Yeah, that makes sense. If you use that phrase for educational purposes and let people know, you know, hey, this is what it means. This is what it's about, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. The problem is that the cosplay deviants have been using that tagline to sell shirts and merchandise.
They're making money off of it.
They're making money off of it. That's not the whole point of when you made that trademark. So I know that they're getting a lot of backlash against it. I don't know if anything has happened because, I mean, it's they own the trademark to it now. So does that mean that we can't use it ever again without getting slapped with a cease and desist because, hey, we didn't pay to use the right to say that? That's not very cosplay friendly, kids.
And even if, you know, the conventions aren't being asked to pay for the right to use this, basically they're being asked to cede control to this group. And most conventions won't do that. Just saying. So, I mean, more power to them to try and trademark this, but you do not own Cosplay Is Not Consent.
No, this is a cosplay community issue. This is not just a cosplay deviants issue.
Right. So we will, of course, put that link up for you guys so that you guys can go and read about it yourselves and make your own decisions. Because obviously, we're only speaking for ourselves. We're not, you know, speaking for the community at large. All right. And the other story that came up as we were off on our holiday vacation is CosplayCon, which was held in Arkansas. Oh, boy. This one.
This is horrible. And you guys, if you've been on our Facebook page, I've already posted this. This is, and the fact that this keeps happening is just so discouraging.
All right. So the TLDR on this one is that there was supposed to be a brand new convention called Cosplay Con and Anime Experience. Cosplay Con for short. In Little Rock, Arkansas. And basically, it was supposed to be just like your normal generic anime-style con. You know, you go there, there are guests, there are panels, there are vendors. Basic convention experience, as we normally experience. And apparently, the con was a con. And by that, I mean the guests were fooled. That this was not actually a convention, this was a scam. Because one of the show promoters apparently took the money from the show, which, you know, people pay in for vendor tables, people pay in to sell food, people pay in to buy tickets. He took all of that money and fled. Which in and of itself is terrible, because part of that money was meant for charity. You know, a lot of conventions, especially local ones, like to partner with local charities. Like, for example, the Heroes and Angels was the particular charity for this one. That they were supposed to get money to be helping people. And the charity did not get paid any money. Because this guy took all of the money from the convention and ran. You know, nobody knows where they are. And not only did the charity not get paid, the vendors did not get paid, you know, their share of profits. Basically, the guests didn't get paid. Anybody who was supposed to get money from the convention directly did not get paid. In addition to that, those who were comped rooms, which are usually guests and volunteers, because volunteers, you know, if you volunteer a certain number of hours, you get crash space. The card that was used to pay for the rooms was declined. And so the hotel was kicking people out of their rooms. And if you've ever been to a convention, especially as a volunteer or a guest, you know that that hotel room is necessary. You need it to be able to go lie down and take a break for a little bit, to go and eat food, to go and change clothes, take a shower, go to the bathroom, whatever. You really need to have that hotel room. And if you're kicked out of it, not a lot of people have the funds to suddenly come and pay for it themselves. That's considered an emergency expense if you were expecting the convention to be paying for it. And wow, this, I mean, of course, with this, we will put the links so that you guys can read about this as well. But basically, they're estimating that $30,000 is owed to people, including $2,000 for the Heroes and Angels charity, which helps to stock stuffing, which helps to stuff stockings
there you go.
For kids at Christmas. You know, for kids whose families cannot necessarily afford gifts. And so they said they couldn't fill any stockings this year because they didn't get any of the money. And so they're still trying to track down this person. They know who it is. And, you know, the local anime con, one of their sister cons in Arkansas, is basically trying to step up and help. So they're, you know, lowering ticket prices. They're trying to raise money. There was a big fundraiser for the charity as well to try and, you know, get some of that money back for the kids so that they can have stockings for Christmas this year. The venue was paid, and that's about it. And this is not the first time this year that this has happened.
It's happened way too many times this year. And apparently this particular con owner has done this multiple times as well. He just uses different aliases. He just finds way to trick the system and get people to believe him and cuts and runs. It's sad. I don't know what we can do, but we got to figure out a way to have a better vetting process of our organizers to ensure that we, as the guests, as the attendees, don't get screwed over.
Right. And I know that part of the reason that this isn't caught as often is because right now conventions are pretty cutthroat competitive. So they don't like disclosing their finances to other cons where other cons can see it, because they'll say, oh, haha, you're just a low budget con. We're better than you. We can afford more guests than you. It's very, very secretive, competitive sort of atmosphere, and that's not good. I mean, we get it. Conventions are businesses too. They need to make money. At the same time, if you want to earn the trust of people, one of the best ways that you can do that is to be transparent. At least as much as you can while still protecting your secrets. Obviously, we're not going to ask for every penny. But if you want to start a new convention, one of the best things that you can do is to show your convention attendees how that money is being spent and that you are financially viable enough to handle all of those costs. Because if you go into a convention without seed money, and I know this as having helped start a convention before, if you do not have seed money, you are not going to be very happy at the end. You will be in debt, because most of the time, the first time you run a convention, you end up in debt because your costs are much more than the money that you took in, because you're a first year con. You know, there are unexpected things that happen and you can't necessarily price things the way that you would for a more established con, because you have to get people in the door. And to do that, you have to discount things.
Yeah. Do your best That's to be the way it is. Open and transparent with where you're spending the money as much as possible. That's definitely a big helpful thing.
And your finances. So that, you know, if your finances are in trouble, yes, we get that you don't want to publicly disclose that because it may, you know, scare people away from your con. At the same time, you're also going to ruin the reputation of other conventions if you suddenly up and run. You know, if you're in financial trouble, take care of that, you know, privately, that's fine, but don't just drop everything and take the money and run and just go, oh, screw you guys, I'm going home. I'm leaving you guys with the bill. Because that is why people are so scared now to attend new first year conventions. Because this has happened often enough, just this year, this isn't even in general, just this year, this has happened enough that people are really, really suspicious, understandably so, of first year conventions, particularly if the staff are not established staffers. Generally, if you work at a convention, you know the people who work at other conventions, because it ends up being a lot of the same people.
Right.
A lot of people end up volunteering and staffing at multiple conventions, because if you are reliable and competent, you build a reputation and other cons suddenly want you to help them too. So if you have a con full of people that you don't know at all, who have no convention experience, I would start asking questions before you even buy the ticket. That's just my opinion, granted, but I've been to a lot of conventions and I've helped start some, and I've also been helping run them for a little while too. So yeah, please don't do this. I mean, Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve was a horrible example of a convention gone wrong. First time they held that convention ended up being the last time. There are still people who haven't gotten paid almost a year later. They probably will never get paid. The organization was sued, they went bankrupt, so even if you sued them, they're not going to get any money back because they're bankrupt. And of course, if any event like that is ever held again in the Metroplex, no one's going to go, because they remember exactly what happened last time, since it was so widely covered in the media. When these things happen, the community knows about it, because we talk. We talk to our friends, and our friends know other friends who are journalists. And one of the things that you don't want as a convention is a journalist trailing you wanting to do investigative reporting.
Yeah, you don't need bad press. That's just immediately going to kill you. Yeah. Most of the time.
if you try and slide something under the table, the media knows, and they will find out, and they will publicize it. And then you're going to have even more people coming to ask questions. So you may as well just do everything above the table to begin with. Just do it clean. You know, let people know that you are financially strong enough to do this, that you are responsible, and then walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. Get competent people to run your convention. Make sure that your accounting books are in order. Make sure that all your paperwork is filed correctly. And that if you need to amend it, you need to do it immediately and transparently. And then if something happens, don't just take the money and run. You know, just do something to show that you're willing to sit there and make it right. Even if you can't immediately pay off everybody, at least show that you are making efforts to make amends. And the community will understand. We're not mob justice, man. We're only mob justice if you try and, stiff charities and run.
Yeah, we should definitely point out in this situation with Cosplay Con and Anime Experience, it was intentionally set up to be a con job.
Yes.
The guy is a known con man. So this wasn't just a situation that Amber was describing as, they screwed up. Because that's what Marvel's New Year's Eve was. They actually wanted to have a good convention and it just didn't happen. That was a screw up. That was an oopsie.
That was an unintentional screw up. This one was an intentional screw up.
Yeah, this is not DashCon 2.0. DashCon tried. As poorly as they did, they tried. This one was a legit con job. And it's heartbreaking because not only does it screw over charities, it screwed over some of the guests. It also screwed over the vendors and the artists that were there. No Flutter was supposed to be there. And she had canceled out when she heard about all the bad things that were going on behind the scenes. So she didn't end up going. I don't think she went. That's how I found out about this convention. And it's even more heartbreaking because we don't really have cosplay conventions in the United States. We've got Costume Con, but that moves around every single year. It also hits Canada as well. And it's more of like the upper echelon of costume makers, not really cosplayers as hobbyists. We do have a costume convention that's on the East Coast that's been 2 years running now. It's called Cosplay America, not Cosplay in America. That's just Cosplay America. And so far, I've heard some good stuff about it. I'm actually looking into possibly going to that one for next year. So to have a convention that was meant to be dedicated to cosplay, to do panels and workshops, and to have it fail so miserably because it was a scam, it's like, so are we going to have that opportunity to actually have a legit cosplay convention and not have it turn into this? And it's probably going to take a while now.
Cosplay convention, not a costuming convention.
Mm-hmm. It was specifically listed as a cosplay con. It was right. Had panels, at least they had panels listed and workshops, and they had multiple cosplay contests throughout the weekend. It did not happen, or the few that did happen, the prizes were chintzy, or nobody knew when the timings were. Some of them were canceled. Some of them were just changed at different times without telling anybody. One cosplayer had mentioned that she has worked multiple conventions in Arkansas. She came to this one because she had free tickets and she was like, I'm going, may as well, it's a free pass. And she ended up having to teach the staff members about how to do signups, how to do this, how to do this, how to communicate with other people that were also staff to just figure out what was going on, when it was going on. You could tell that there was a lot of disorganization and it's sad. It was just a giant, giant mess. And I hope it doesn't dissuade other convention organizers from trying to do a cosplay convention in the future, because it would be nice to go to a con that had more advanced workshops and more advanced panels. Because I don't know about a lot of you, but I'm kind of getting tired of the 101 and beginner panels because it doesn't apply to me any longer. There's nothing new that I can learn. I want advanced content, and most conventions don't offer that. So to have a cosplay convention that would have that content would be fabulous. I could be in panel heaven for once. Clearly, Cosplay Con and Anime Experience was not it.
And to be fair, I'm not necessarily trying to bash on Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve as like being a con. It wasn't necessarily that it was a con. It was that the way they handled it was that they basically tried to like run away from their debts. There were people on that Sunday who were being kicked out of hotel rooms. There were guests who weren't paid. There were vendors who weren't paid, who didn't make any sort of money. And basically, they were left out in the cold. Doors were locked. Voicemails not answered. If that were to happen, this is not meant to be misogynist. Man up. Basically, just stand up, take your lumps, and make amends. That was all I was trying to say about that.
It's just, I gotcha.
Don't try and be under the table about it. People don't appreciate that.
No, that's how you get bad reputation. And then it affects all the other conventions in the area because you're like,
yes.
If this one convention did something bad, are the rest of them going to be the same way? Like, should I even try going to the other conventions? And you're just like, oh, please don't sour the experience for everybody else. That's no bueno.
And it makes other people scared to start new conventions because they're afraid that if they put themselves on the line as a startup and something happens, then of course they're going to look at other cons and go, well, they ran, so I'm going to run too. it just really, it hurts all of us, basically. TLDR, bad.
It's bad.
So that is the end of our current news stories. And do we have anything else for the fans today?
No.
We do have an after show. We do have one thing that,
yeah, we're going to tack something on when we do the social media section, of course, bloop. But we do have more in the after session. So for those who are watching right now in our Google session, please stay tuned because there's so much more.
But otherwise, that is the end of our show for today. This episode 156 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, compliments, constructive criticisms, or anything else that you would like to share with us, including cosplay progress, you guys can email us at podcast@cospod.org. Or you can contact us on any of our social media. We are everywhere. And you will usually get two responses from us, of course. Because we care truth. That much.
Truth.
And of course, if you want to watch further episodes, if you would like to share us with the world and share your love of cosplay, you can find us at cospod.org. You can also find us on YouTube at cospodcast. And you can find us on Twitch under cospod. Otherwise, we will see you guys next episode in 157. Hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. Bye, everybody.
And my quick little 5-second, 10-second, 20-second thingy. Our Discord chat is almost ready to go. If you are interested in signing up and joining us and doing a little bit of beta testing, because I need to make sure that all the channels are correct, please feel free to contact us on our social media. You can email us. You can do all of this junk here. Just message us, and we will get you a link to the Discord so you can help us test it. Until then, see you guys next time.